Let us pray. Spirit of God, wake us up so that we may see and hear you in our midst. The scripture lesson today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2. Listen for a word from God. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they all met in one room. And suddenly they heard what sounded like a violent rushing wind from heaven, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Something appeared to them that seemed like tongues of fire. These separated and came to rest on the head of each one. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were devout people living in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, they all assembled. But they were bewildered to hear their native languages being spoken. They were amazed and astonished. Surely all of these people speaking are Galileans. How does it happen that each of us hears these words in our native tongue? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya around Cyrene, as well as visitors from Rome. All Jews are converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs too. We hear them preaching, each in our own language, about the marvels of God. All were amazed and disturbed. They asked each other, "What does this mean?" But others said mockingly, "They've drunk too much new wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11 and addressed the crowd. "People of Judea, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, listen to what I have to say. These people are not drunk as you think. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what the prophet Joel spoke of. In the days to come, it is our God who speaks. I will pour out my spirit on all humankind. Your daughters and sons will prophesy. Your young people will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even on the most insignificant of my people, both women and men, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. And I will display wonders in heaven above and signs on earth below. Blood, fire, billowing smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon will become blood. Before the coming of the great and sublime days of our God, all who call upon the name of our God will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as I began preparing for this worship service, I found myself laughing at how some of the hymns describe the Holy Spirit, like the murmur of a dove song, or one of my favorites, "Spirit, Spirit of gentleness, blow through the wilderness, calling and free." But looking at those hymns next to this scripture text, we can't possibly be talking about the same thing. It sounded like a violent rushing wind from heaven, tongues of fire, wonders in heaven above and earth below, blood, fire, billowing smoke, the moon turned to blood. This does not sound like a spirit of gentleness to me. It actually reminds me of how other characters talk about Aslan in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Aslan is a lion, but he's also the figure representative of God in the books. Miss Beaver answers the children's questions about him. She says, "Safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he is good." Or later, "It's not as if he were a tame lion." This wild and untamable spirit of God is what is at work in the scripture text today. The followers of Jesus have just been through a difficult time. They had followed Jesus into Jerusalem, watched him suffer and die. All of his hopes were lost, and then the resurrected Christ started showing up at their dinner table. behind locked doors, along distant roads. Just as the disciples started to wrap their head around this new understanding of who Jesus is and what it means to follow him, he ascends right on up to heaven. And this wild wind of fire blows into their midst. And they begin to speak in languages they have never heard. Not a tame lion, indeed. And this actually reminds me of what it's kind of been like in our lives over the last year. The whiplash of change we've all experienced, trying to wrap our heads around what this means for us. Even the latest good news from the CDC seems to make things more complicated than simple. Just like on the original day of Pentecost, we find ourselves trying to figure out what this good news means for us. Emily took a class a few weeks ago to learn more about the church we are becoming in this new era, called the Hybrid Church. I may have borrowed her notes. It talks about how this church doesn't live in a building, it lives in homes. It lives online as well as in the sacred spaces that we like together. But one of my favorite statistics I saw was this. 70% of adults say that I am spiritually growing during this pandemic in ways other than church attendance. So I wonder, how have you been growing spiritually? That's not a rhetorical question. I actually want you to answer that and put it in the comments section or shoot me an email. Because I've found this true for myself and my family over the last year. When lockdown first began, it felt like a sigh of relief for me because our life had become so busy and frazzled. Yes, there have been many hard days and hard choices, but just as many gifts. The gift of more time together, learning how to slow down, having the time to do spiritual formation with my children, playing in the rocks with them. Several folks mentioned to us that they thought it was wild to relocate and start new work in the middle of a pandemic. But I know many folks who've done the same thing. This pandemic has forced us to recalibrate our lives and reexamine our priorities. I am beyond grateful to the slower life that we have built. And even with things turning to a new normal, I don't want to go back to that frantic pace. Much of in-person life is returning, but we should still hold on to those ways we were growing spiritually during the pandemic. But returning is often harder than going. When I was in school, I had the opportunity to study abroad 2 different times. In college, I spent a semester at the University of Westminster in London, and in seminary, a summer doing supervised ministry in rural Kenya. Both times, I found that the return culture shock was harder than the one going, but even more so when I got back from Kenya. In Kenya, I was in a place where there was almost nobody who looked like me. Like, I literally made small children cry because they'd never seen someone like me, especially someone with giant red curly hair. And on my way home from Kenya, I had the opportunity to spend a day. I had about a 12-hour layover in London. Walking around this place that I had enjoyed in college, things looked different. You know, in London, there's a lot of famous statues of lions. But after a summer in Kenya, I was reminded starkly that lions do not live naturally in the United Kingdom. It was this moment of dislocation and confusion, remnants of colonialism, but a stark one to wrap my head around. And we're all going through this reverse culture shock again as we come home. Experts are beginning to describe some of the ways this pandemic has shifted our experiences and expectations of life. Like remote work and Zoom have become much more acceptable. Even talking about and making a priority to take care of our own mental health has become more accepted. We're even beginning to ask each other a lot more often the question, what's your comfort level with this gathering and how we're coming together? And in reality, much of our former life was what was really abnormal. The crazy pace, the inequities, and the injustices. I listened to a great NPR story about how to human again. And the physician on the show said this: I think when you're dealing with a crisis like this, you can have post-traumatic stress. And we all will at some level. But there's also something called post-traumatic growth. I think there are moments in our lifetime, and this is one of them, when we can really think hard and think big about what the future should look like. There's a lot that we should let go of and a lot that we can improve on. Now, I don't want to Pollyanna this pandemic. I'm not saying that it was worth it for these things to happen, but I firmly believe, and I have seen, that God can bring new life out of even the darkest valleys. Even though we want to return to in-person worship, we've learned the benefits of gathering in new ways. I know that parents and kids can sometimes listen more. I enjoy hearing sermons from different friends and pastors around the globe. So what have you found to be a benefit of being able to worship in this way? Put that in the chat box. Send me an email. I want to know. In some ways, it's more authentic. Definitely not polished and perfect, especially when we are worshiping in our pajamas, but powerful and real all the same. This untamable Holy Spirit is an expert at making the impossible things become possible. We used to say, you can't possibly have a presbytery meeting over Zoom, but now we do it regularly. We say, it's impossible to work from home while your children are doing school, but so many folks have figured out how to make it happen. We say, it's impossible. Children cannot keep distance when they're at school and wear masks on, but teachers have figured out how to do it. It's impossible for them to come up with a new vaccine in less than a year, but now there are three. So what other things that we think now are impossible that the Holy Spirit is just waiting to shake up? Is it that our political divide is too rigid and set in stone that we'll never be able to find a way forward together? Is it that the conflict in the Holy Land with Israel and Palestine has been going on forever, and there's never going to be an end? I feel like the Holy Spirit just takes those kinds of things as a challenge. You think that's impossible? Just wait to see what I've got in store. And this text also gives us some really specific ways to lean into this new and emerging world. It says, I will pour out my spirit on all of humankind. Your daughters and sons will prophesy, your young people will see visions, and your elders will dream dreams. So in this new season, in our new time of culture shock and coming back together and finding new ways to connect, I invite you to listen and speak in new ways. The people around us are having visions and dreaming dreams, and we need to hear what they have to say. And I want to invite you to dream dreams. What are the things that you've hoped for and you've longed for that you didn't quite think were possible? What are the ways that you've wanted to see and know Christ and see how God is impacting the world around us? Maybe it's time for you to dream those dreams. But either way, give yourself permission to hope for what can't be, because I hate to tell you this, that once you've invited the Holy Spirit into your lives, it's going to shake you up, whether you like it or not. But the good news is that God is inviting us to this abundant life together. Let's listen and speak. Let's dream dreams so that we can pay attention to all of the ways that God's kingdom is breaking forth among us. Amen.